So this is already April 4, 1937. It's Low Sunday. That is the Feast of Mercy. April 4, 1937. In the morning after Holy Communion, my soul was immersed in the Godhead. I was united to the three divine persons in such a way that when I was united to Jesus, I was simultaneously united to the Father and to the Holy Spirit. My soul was flooded with joy beyond understanding. The Lord gave me to experience the whole ocean and abyss of His faithless mercy. Oh, if only souls would want to understand how much God loves them. All comparisons, even if they were the most tender and the most vehement, are but a mere shadow when set against the reality. When I was united to the Lord, I came to know how many souls are glorifying God's mercy. When I went for adoration, I heard these words: "My beloved daughter, write down these words, that today my heart has rested in this convent. Tell the whole world about my mercy and my love. The flames of mercy are burning me. I decide to pour them out upon human souls. Oh, what pain they cause me when they do not want to accept them." So you want to share your love with someone and they just deny it, reject it. How do you feel? "My daughter, do whatever is within your power to spread devotion to my mercy. I'll make up for what you lack. Tell each in mankind to snuggle close to my merciful heart. I'll be filled with peace." So seek to be close to the Sacred Heart, Jesus. "Tell all people, my daughter, that I am love and mercy itself. When a soul approaches me with trust, I fill it with such an abundance of graces that it cannot contain them within itself, but radiates them to other souls." Souls who spread the honor of my mercy, I shield through their entire lives as a tender mother her infant. At the hour of death, I will not be judged for them, but the merciful Savior. In the last hour, a soul has nothing with which to defend itself except my mercy. Happy is a soul that during its lifetime immerses itself in the fountain of mercy, because justice will have no hold on it. Write this: everything that exists is enclosed in the bowels of a mercy, more deeply than an infant in its mother's womb. So the womb in the mother's womb is very close, even more than that, ourselves in the Lord. How painful the distrust of my goodness wounds me. Sins of distrust wound me most painfully. So many times we say, no matter how great your sin is, it's more important, the trust. During Holy Mass, the directress of novice, Sister Calista, played a beautiful hymn about the mercy of God. I then asked the Lord to give her a deeper knowledge of the abyss of this inconceivable mercy. When we sing well, we don't necessarily understand better. So she was asking the Lord to give her, she had a good voice, but also need a good heart to understand what she sang. When I was saying goodnight to the Lord before retiring, I heard the words, "Hosts, dear to my heart, for your sake, I bless the world." So important, Jesus appreciates our tenderness towards Him, our openness towards Him, then our hearts are always open to the Lord, to divine mercy, to Jesus Christ, to the secret heart of Jesus. Open yourself. Don't tell yourself, I'm not Sister Faustina. You don't need to be so Faustina. You need to be yourself. You are loved as much, God loved you as much as Jesus loved Faustina. She'll respond. Me too. She loves us the same way. April 7, 1937, today, when a certain person entered the chapel, I felt a terrible pain in my hands, my feet, and my side. Just as Jesus did during the Passion, during His Passion. This lasted only for a brief moment, but this way I recognized a soul who was not in God's grace. On one occasion, I saw the Holy Father reflecting about this matter, presumably the sacraments of the Feast of the Divine Mercy. April 10, 1937. Mother Superior gave me an article about the Divine Mercy to read, and with it, there was also a reproduction of image that has been painted. The article appeared in the Vilnius Weekly and was sent to us in Krakow by Father Michael Sopoko, the zealous apostle of the Divine Mercy. In this article, I included words that the Lord Jesus has spoken to me, some of them quoted verbatim. When I took the issue of the weekly into my hands, an arrow of love pierced my soul. For the sake of your ardent desires, I am hastening the Feast of Mercy, the word of Jesus to her. My spirit burst into such a powerful flame of love that it seemed to me that I was totally dissolved in God. Nothing else but divine mercy being spread in the world. The beautiful soul who is spreading this work of divine mercy throughout the world is, by his deep humility, very pleasing to God. That's her comment. I think it's on Father Sopoko. Before every major grace, my soul undergoes a test of patience. For I feel the grace, but do not yet possess it. My spirit burns with impatience, but the hour has not yet come. These moments are so very extraordinary that it is difficult to describe them. So when you have faith, she knows that something will come out, but not yet. The time of waiting is costing. April 13, 1937. Today, I must stay in bed all day. I had a violent fit of coughing, which left me so weak that I have no strength to walk. My spirit eager to do God's will, but physical strength has left me. I cannot penetrate your actions at this moment, O Lord. Therefore, keep repeating with a loving act of the will. Do with me as you please. So at times we cannot acquire what we need, and we say the word of Jesus, your will be done. Although the temptation was strong, a whole wave of doubts beats against my soul, and discouragement stands by, ready to enter into the act. The Lord, however, strengthens my will, against which all the attempts of the enemy are shattered as if against a rock. I see how many actual graces God grants me. These support me ceaselessly. I am very weak, and I attribute everything solely to the grace of God. So you can imagine, no? So much attack. When you do the things of God, not do some other stupid things. But the more you work for the Lord, the more attacked to God. The more you open to yourself, and the more people are piercing you. That's experience. That's how it is. You do your part, Jesus do his part. But don't think that I'm Jesus with you and then everything is solved. Well, everything's solved, but in a way, patience. You have to wait. When one day I resolved to practice a certain virtue, I lapsed into the vice opposed to the virtues 10 times more frequency than on other days. Sometimes when you don't have any need to practice virtue, you are quiet. Once you want to practice patience or practice love, and then all the temptation comes in 10 times more than ordinary day. In the evening, I was reflecting on why today I have lapsed so extraordinarily, and heard the word, "You are counting too much on yourself and too little on me." Many times we complain, but Jesus said, "You count so much on yourself and not on me." And I understood the cause of my lapse. Sudden return to health. After I had written the letter to Father Sopoku on Sunday, April 11, I suddenly became so very ill that I did not send that letter, but waited for a clear sign of God's will. However, my health got so bad that I had to go to bed. The cold thing wrecked me so much that it seemed to me that if this repeats a few more times, it will surely be the end of me. Tuberculosis. It's not today, it's not so much, not so common in our parents' time. It's deadly disease, like cancer. You have to rest for half a year, 2 years, so that you can recover. On April 14, I felt so bad that I barely managed to get up to assist at Mass. I felt much worse than I did at the time they sent me for treatment. There was wheezing, and there were rattling noises in my lungs and strength pains. When I received Holy Communion, I don't know why, but it was as if something were urging me to this prayer. I began to pray in this manner: "Jesus, may your pure and healthy blood circulate in my ailing organism, and may your pure and healthy body transform my weak body, and may a healthy and vigorous life throbbed within me, if it is truly your holy will that I should set about the work in question. And this will be a clear sign of your will for me." As I was praying this way, I suddenly felt as if something were jolting my whole organism. In an instant, I felt completely well. My breath is clear, as if there had never been anything the matter with my lungs, and I feel no pain. This is a sign for me that I should set about the work. And this happened on the last day of my novena to the Holy Spirit. After this return to health, I found myself united with the Lord Jesus in a purely spiritual way. Jesus gave me strong assurances, that is, he confirmed me in respect to his demands. I remained close to the Lord Jesus all that day and talked with him about the details concerning that congregation. Jesus infused my soul with power and courage to act. Now, understand that if the Lord demands something of a soul, he gives it the means to carry it out, and through grace, he makes it capable of doing this. So we always say this, no? When it's God's will, it's always you have the grace to do it. So even if the soul be utterly miserable at the Lord's command, it can undertake things beyond its expectation, because this is the sign by which it can be known that the Lord is with the soul. If God's power and strength, which make the soul courageous and valiant, is manifest within itself. As for myself, I'm always at first a bit frightened at the Lord's greatness, but afterwards my soul is filled with profound peace which nothing can disturb, as well as an inner strength to do what the Lord is demanding at a particular moment. So when you say we want to do the will of God, it's always, if it's really the will of God, you will always have grace, the strength. Don't doubt. Then I heard these words: go tell the superior that you are in good health. I neither know nor ask how long I will remain in good health. I only know that I'm enjoying good health at present. The future does not belong to me. I ask for this health as evidence of God's will, and not in order to seek relief for my suffering. So she's not ovarious. She just tells Jesus, I will just only good health to do my work. I don't need to be recovered forever and ever. You know, she's so gentle, pure intention to love only. April 16, 1937. Today, as God's majesty what swept over me, my soul understood that the Lord, so very great though he is, delights in humble souls. The more so humbles itself, the greater the kindness with which the Lord approaches it. The Lord is great, but he comes to the low. The low, so when we are humble, he comes more direct. Uniting himself closely with it, he raises it to his very throne. Elevates the poor soul into his heart. Happy is the soul whom the Lord himself defends. I have come to know that only love is of any value. Love is greatness. Nothing, no work can compare with a single act of pure love of God. O Jesus, shield me with your mercy and also judge me leniently, or else the justice may rightly damn me. April 17. Today, during a catechetical lecture by Father Theodore, I was giving a confirmation of what I had understood interiorly and lived by for quite some time, namely, that if a soul loves God sincerely and is intimately united with him, then even though such a soul may be living in the midst of difficult external circumstances, nothing can disturb its interior life. In the midst of corruption, it can remain pure and unsullied, because the great love of God gives it strength for battle, and God also protects in a special way, even in a miraculous way, a soul that loves him sincerely. So even we are loved by God, but we still have the battle to fight. So God give us the grace, but you have to fight. You cannot say that, oh God, you help me and then I'm at ease. Not yet. You have to fight if you trust in him. When one day God gave me the inner knowledge that I had never lost my innocence, and that despite all dangers in which I had found myself, he himself had been guiding me so that the virginity of my soul and heart would remain intact. I spent the day in fervent interior thanksgiving. I thank God that he had been pleased to protect me from evil, and also for this, that I had found favor in his eyes, and he himself had given me assurance of this. So God is protecting. He shall acknowledge it. And a few years later, he died to confirm me in this grace. And since that time, I have not experienced the rebellion of the senses against the soul. I've written this down in great detail elsewhere in my diary. quotation, paragraph number 40. As often as I recall this inconceivable grace, a fresh flame of love and gratitude of God bursts forth from my heart. And this same love leads me to complete forgetfulness of self. Since that time, I've been living under the virginal cloak of my Mother of God. She has also guarding me and instructing me. I'm quite at peace, close to her immaculate heart, because I'm so weak and inexperienced, alas, so like the little child close to her heart. Although God has confirmed me in this virtue, I am, however, constantly on the watch and fear, even in my own shadow. But this is only because I have come to love God intensely. This grace from God was given to me precisely because I was the weakest of all people. That is why the Almighty has surrounded me with His special mercy. April 24th, I can sense every major grace in advance. A strange longing and desire for God comes over me, and then I wait for the grace. And the greater the grace, the more distinct is the present time, presentiment, and the fiercest is my struggle with the adversary of my salvation. My soul is sometimes in such a condition that I can only describe it by means of a comparison. There are two great friends, and one of them is giving a great feast and has invited the other. Both of them are looking forward to it. But the hour of the feast has been set. Well, the moments just before receiving the grace are so violent that it is difficult to describe them. They are marked by painful longing and the fire of love. I can feel the Lord is there, but I cannot be completely absorbed in Him, because the hour has not designated. Often before such a moment of grace, I am utterly destitute in mind, will and heart. I am left all alone and await for the one God. He Himself effects this in me before His coming. April 23rd, 1937, I have begun a 3-day retreat today. In the evening, I heard these words in my soul. My daughter, know that I shall speak to you in a special way through this priest for the Platzer, so that you may not yield to doubts concerning my wishes. So Jesus promising her through the retreat, and then she got the answer. So Jesus sometimes gives her the answer, sometimes through people, especially through the spiritual director, give her the sign that what she needs to listen and need to follow. At times, we have to be open ourselves and humble ourselves. Don't tell that God directs me, speak to me, yes, but through people sometimes, not exactly. He just calling you on phone, on your mobile. But some call, well, a good friend, maybe your enemy, say some words to you. Maybe there's a word that you need to hear. You don't know. Don't close your ear. God works many, many, many ways. No, so don't close your ear. Open. Of course, you have to distinguish whether it's God's will. So therefore, that's why you have to pray, heart open, and seek His will. You might say, perhaps, then you keep, don't be excited. The Lord will give you, if it's His will of God, you've got a peace. If it's not, disturbances. So it's a sign. When there's peace, surely it's the will of God.